And welcome to the City of Palm Coast City Council Business Meeting. Pursuant to the Governor's Executive Order suspending all Florida statutes that require a quorum to be present in person at local government public meetings or require a local government body to meet at a specific public place, the City may conduct meetings of its City Council without having a quorum of its members present physically or at any specific location, and utilizing communications media technology, such as telephonic or video conferencing, as provided by Florida statutes. As mayor, pursuant to the authority granted to me by the city charter, I declared a public emergency on March 15, 2020, in response to COVID-19. Furthermore, pursuant to those powers and the governor's executive order, I suspended all city requirements that require a physical quorum to be present to conduct this meeting and authorize that this meeting be conducted by communications media technology under the city's state of emergency proclamation for virtual meetings executed on April 3, 2020. The city manager, pursuant to the authority granted him by the city's initial state of emergency for COVID-19, has closed City Hall to the public. Therefore, no member of the public will be allowed into the community wing of City Hall during this meeting. Notice that this meeting was going to be held by communication media technology and not at a physical location was posted on the city's website at least 5 days ago. The notice provided that those members of the public needing reasonable accommodation to participate in the meeting could contact the city clerk for assistance by noon on Monday, August 3rd, 2020. Access to this meeting is being provided via live stream to the city's website at www.palmcoastgov.com and by calling 386-223-1690. Should you need technical assistance, please call 386-986-2391. Today is August 4th, 2020. It is 6 p.m. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Okay.
Should everyone mute their
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay. I think I heard Bob too. Is everyone muted, Doug? Okay. Thank you. All right. Roll call, please.
Mayor Holland.
Here.
Vice Mayor Clufus.
Present.
Councilmember Branquino.
Right here.
Councilmember Cuff.
Here.
All members are present.
Thank you. Okay, we'll now move to agenda item number D, which is public participation. Any member of the public that is asked to wishes to speak, please call it in at this time at 386-223-1690. Please hit star 9 to be unmuted. Your name and will be asked to be spoken at the beginning of your comments, and your 3 minutes will begin. Okay. Thank you. We'll close public participation. We'll move to agenda item number E1, which is the approval of the minutes from July 21st, 2020 City Council Business Meeting, July 28, 2020 Budget Workshop, July 28, 2020 special meeting. Do I have a motion to?
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
I'm sorry. Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes. Okay, it's approved?
Yes, it's unanimous.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and other business, we'll now move to agenda item number F2, which is to interview applications for our vacant seat, District 2. Jason, if you'll bring the first applicant up. We will ask that you please come to the podium, state your name for the record. Your 3 minutes will begin as an opening, and then you will be asked questions by the City Council. And then we will ask you to make a closing statement as well.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure.
Welcome.
Thanks. So my name is Hung Hilton.
guess as far as just an introduction to myself, before I get too far, I think it'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that I have the opportunity to stand here because Mr. Howell had to resign. And so just wanted to say that he will be in my family's thoughts and prayers. And okay, as far as myself, I moved here in 2014. I got a job as a solution architect working remotely and in Michigan, and we decided that we didn't really need to live through Michigan winters anymore. So we were looking for a place to live, and a friend had suggested Palm Coast, or check out this city. And when we did, it really checked all the boxes for us. So we had, you know, it was near water, which was important. We grew up in Michigan, needed to be near water and near areas where there would be work if I needed that. And the housing was within our budget. And what we really loved was that it was a growing city that was focused on economic development and just overall preservation of the natural beauty around the city. And so we fell in love. We moved here in December of 2015 and have had no regrets since then. It's been it's a really great community. So if we fast forward a couple of months ago, looking at our sample ballots and trying to decide who to vote for, and I said, you know, this is politics is really ugly these days, and I think maybe I could help out, get involved. I'd like to see about running for city council. I learned that Mr. Howell had, we just moved into the L section, and Mr. Howell had 2 years left on his term, so we said, well, we have 2 years to figure out what the hell it means to even run for city council. And then news came that he resigned, and I had to jump at the opportunity to hopefully walk a mile in your shoes, see what that's like, and maybe even make some friends that help me figure out what the hell it means to run for city council. So.
Right. Does that include your opening statement?
Yep.
Wonderful. So what I'd like to do is I will first turn, since Councilmember Brinquino is here present, I'm going to have him ask the questions that he would like. Please respond directly to Councilmember Brinquino, but you're speaking to all of us because we're all colleagues up here. And then I will turn it over to Vice Mayor Klufas, and then Councilmember Cuff, and then I will ask some questions as well.
Perfect.
Okay?
Okay.
Councilmember Brinquino.
Hello. How are you, Mr.
Hi.
Hilton?
Good.
Thank you for actually giving us the opportunity of listening to you.
Yeah, thank you.
A little comment before I ask you the two questions that I basically want to ask every other candidate. You said that you like the direction that we are going.
Mm-hmm.
That pleases me because I've been part of this direction for the last 2 years. Okay? And the questions are very simple. What made you apply for this job without repeating yourself? And what makes you think you could do it?
What made me apply? Okay. So, yeah, it was really, I think, being on city council, the opportunity to make a difference and participate in, you know, this city moving forward, like you said. I really like it here. Really, our family is proud to call this place home, try to get all our friends and family to move here. And so I wanted to get involved in more local government and things anyways. And so what better opportunity than right now to do that? As far as why I think I could do the job, I definitely have a pragmatic approach to everything I do. I'm a solutions architect in IT, and so very good at understanding complex problems, breaking them down into manageable chunks of things that can be done, and communicating those things to people. So I feel like it'd be a good candidate to represent people in the city and help us move forward.
Thank you.
I can conclude your questions for now?
For now, yes.
Okay.
If I have something else, before he goes, I'll ask.
Vice Mayor Clufus.
Yep. Good afternoon, good evening. Thank you very much for your time. It's great that we have individuals who are trying to become involved in local government, so I applaud you for that. It's a big step to even be standing up here tonight, so tip of the hat to you. My question would be, are there any projects that our city is currently undertaking that you feel that you could step in and contribute to, or is there any vision that the council is trying to implement currently that you think that your skill set would be explicitly beneficial to? And is there anything in the whole that you're trying to do in this small term of city council that you would like to see accomplished?
I mean, it definitely, you know, realistic, it's a very small window, a couple of months sort of thing. So not planning or any expectation that I could boil the ocean by any means. But I think the obvious answer is my technical background, right? There's lots of stuff with the Salesforce and the fiber net that is happening, and I think I could probably help out with, but definitely like to learn more. And yeah, just, I mean, overall, everything else that's going on is, I don't see anything that's not exciting that I wouldn't like to get my hands in if I could.
Fair enough, understood. And then my follow-up question would be, is there a reason why you would rather be appointed than go through the process of running for the seat? And in the future, do you see yourself potentially running for a local government position?
Yeah, definitely. I think, so this is, a unique opportunity to, like I say, walk a mile in your guys' shoes. I'm sure it's not easy. It's lots of work and get a feel for what that's like, and then if you know it goes well, I'd hopefully run in, I guess it'd be November 2022, right? And this term is up. So.
Yep. Understood. Great. Excellent. Great answers, and thank you very much. And again, I appreciate you being here tonight.
Thanks.
Does that conclude your questions for right now, Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yep.
Okay. Council Member Cuff.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Hilton, I apologize because we did receive your application and I did read it, but they don't appear to be attached to my agenda packet tonight. So if I ask you something you've answered already, please forgive me. But how long did you say you've lived here in the city now?
We moved here in December of 2015.
Okay. Are you familiar with the Citizens Academy that the city puts on?
Yeah, definitely. Actually,
periodically. Yeah. Have you attended the Citizens Academy, or is that something you'd be interested in?
Yeah, part of the initial I have 2 years to figure out what it means to run for city council was knowing that that would be a good thing to take. Since we can't do that right now, I did do the virtual Citizens Academy just last week before, something like that.
Okay. Well, it's encouraging. I'm getting kind of tired of virtual myself, but that's just me. and one other question. I'm sure the vice mayor knows what you do for a living, and I'm pretty sure it's something to do with computers and, you know, the internet. But is there anything in particular in your background that you'd cite to as far as your experience in evaluating budgets or determining what you think would be appropriate or not appropriate in a budget, especially one the size of the city of Palm Coast?
Yeah, sure. So I've been in IT for quite a while, and every year we go through the same business or budget cycle that I think probably most businesses do, and I've been involved in that for as long as I can remember with just sort of a similar approach to what the city takes with identifying the strategy and the projects that line up with the overall strategy and what makes the cut for the upcoming year and what doesn't based on cost and value. And so, yeah, I think I've definitely been involved with that. And as a solutions architect, or I'm a certified enterprise architect, they spend a lot of time evaluating different solutions and technical solutions, of course, and making recommendations around them.
Excuse me. Okay. Thank you. That's all the questions I have for now, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. And my questions are as follows. What would you say the top three largest challenges that we will have as a city due to the COVID-19 that we are currently having to deal with as a community?
Oh, the top three challenges. Yeah, so I think budget seems to be an obvious answer. I know there's, you know, lots of revenue lost and how you make up for that. On top of that, some of that loss comes from citizens being out of work and not being able to give the money they normally do for whatever reasons. And so that's probably the second would be just taking care of the citizens that live here. And yeah, for the third, probably just overall reopening strategy, right? How do we, what does normal look like and where do we go from here?
Yeah, reopening strategy.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So obviously, thank you for your responses already, because you've obviously made yourself aware of the process of strategic planning, and we are in the middle of getting ready to go through an extensive budget process, which would primarily be part of your responsibility in a short time period in which you would represent this community. As far as that goes, have you ever watched or listened to our council meetings or budget workshops to know what that entails? Are you able to make that time commitment with work? How do you balance all of that?
Yeah, I think so. I've watched when I knew I was applying for this position. Probably luckily I was on vacation the last couple of weeks. We were supposed to go to Michigan, but canceled that trip. So I was home and watched lots of the meetings or listened to the meetings from 2019 and the budget stuff related to that, the workshops you guys were in, and then also caught up on all of the 2020 meetings and workshops and looked at agendas, watched videos, listened to audio. My family was not very thrilled, but it had to happen. So the time I understand. I think I see the process and how you guys do it. And the time is not a problem. I work remotely. Very supportive manager and company overall to have people involved in their local communities, so shouldn't be any concern.
Just one quick question. As you know, not long ago, we passed a mandatory mask wearing.
Mm-hmm.
If you were here, how would be your vote and why?
Yeah, so I'm definitely a fan of people wearing masks. Just for no other reason than doing the right thing. I think if you can help people not get sick, why wouldn't you, even if it's only a little bit? So I'm definitely a fan of that. When that happened, I was a little surprised knowing that the sheriff had said that it wasn't something they would be able to enforce. But over time, I've come to see it was sure it's not enforceable, but it's something you can at least make your position known and have people hopefully doing the right things and enforce it where you can. So,
thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Council, are there any other questions for this applicant at this time? If not, I'll open it up or have him make his closing statement. Any further questions? Okay, thank you, Doug. Now, please feel free to make your closing statements on any follow-up or just, again, how you would feel you would make it and be an asset, you know, as part of this team.
Yeah, I guess I don't really have much. I definitely realize I'm not the most experienced candidate you guys will see tonight, but I think my background and I guess just overall that I care and hope to live in this city a long time is enough to show that I think I'd be a good candidate to sit on the city council, and hopefully you guys agree.
Well, thank you for applying. Thank you for being here tonight. So, Ray, you're going to bring Mr. Hilton back to the seating area. What's going to happen? I don't know. Did you let the applicants know?
Yeah, Jason's
going to. Okay, perfect. And then we will have a decision this evening.
All right. Awesome.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. I'm sure this is different than what you're used to at council when it's empty.
Wrong side of the table, yes.
I know. Well, welcome, and thank you for being here tonight, and thank you for applying. So how the process is going to work is you will get your three-minute opening statement to talk about your qualifications, anything you think would be appropriate for the council to hear. We will then go to questions. Mr. Branquino will start off the questions. Council member will have a series of questions. Feel free to respond one-on-one. And if there's any follow-up questions. And after that, you will have your closing statement.
Okay.
So please state your name for the record and your 3 minutes.
My name is John Netz. Several people, including my wife, have asked me why in the world I put my name in for this appointment. Well, here's the answer. The next several months are going to be very important for the city of Palm Coast. August and September, you're going to be finalizing a budget. You're going to adopt a budget for the upcoming fiscal year. And October, November, you're going to be implementing that budget. What you're doing is really setting the direction for the next year for this city. Now, what can I bring to that? If you look at my resume, I served 4 consecutive sessions on a city council in New Jersey. That was a strong mayor form of government, so actually we had more day-to-day activity. The last 10 of my 12 years there, I was chairman of the finance committee. We moved to Palm Coast in 1992, and as you know, I was fortunate enough to serve 6 years on city council and 9 years as mayor. That gave me 15 years of working with municipal budgets. Beyond that, as you know, I was appointed by the governor a number of years ago to represent Flagler County on the Florida Inland Navigation District, or FIND as we call it. FIND is a 12-county special taxing district whose combined annual budget is about $98 million. I serve as the chairman of the Finance and Budget Committee and also as the treasurer of FIND. So if you pardon the cliche, if I'm appointed, I think I can hit the ground running. I can be an active participant as you develop the new budget and as you implement that new budget. I look forward to working with you in that capacity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Council Member Branquino.
Where do I start? Where do I start?
Start at the very beginning.
Yeah. 15 years of experience in this room or another room just like this.
Actually, there have been about 5 different rooms.
It's a lot of experience. And the 2 questions that I have for everybody that I'm going to ask you, they may sound stupid because I'm asking you these questions. I don't know about any other candidate, but I'm still going to ask them anyway. What made you apply for this job, and what makes you think you could handle it?
What made me apply for the job was the fact that I think, especially facing this pandemic that we're in, there's going to be a lot of stress on this city, and I think it's very, very important that we make good decisions, good budgetary decisions. We make a good distinction between need to have and nice to have, because we've got to protect our citizens and our community. I think I have the qualifications to do that from the get-go. The learning curve won't be very steep for me.
I do have another question, but I'll ask him once again at the end, okay?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Vice Mayor Clufis.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Netz. Good to see you again digitally. My one question that I had would be, are there any conflicts with you serving on FIND currently with also this role simultaneously?
No conflicts at all. That's been well established. I've been on fine for probably 12 years now, so there was a tremendous overlap between my city council and mayor. So no, there's no conflict of interest.
Okay, understood. And is there anything specific that over the course of this micro term that you would feel that you want to try to get accomplished? This is a different question for you, sir, because we're speaking more in the whole, and that the process is actually something that you're already familiar with, so it's not necessarily one thing that you're trying to hone in on. But is there anything that you would specifically like to champion on the shorter term of city council?
Well, I mean, other than the obvious, working on the budget, working on balanced growth, there is one thing that concerns me a little bit, and I'm sure you've been aware of this. You can only do so much in a Zoom meeting. We have a tendency to lose track of our residents. They're staying at home, they're not congregating, they're not meeting with us, we're not meeting with them. I'd like to see us try to implement some mechanism of communication, maybe through Palm Coast Connect. We do the, every 2 years we do this citizen survey, but that's kind of generic. Maybe we could use Palm Coast Connect or something similar and put out some very simple, open-ended questions, just so we can get some feedback from our residents.
Understood. And I'm making an assumption here, but perhaps over the shorter time frame of a term, is it possible that we kind of have an osmosis situation with your knowledge as far as the situation with seawalls in the city of Palm Coast and our canals, and then also our long-term dredging strategy and how that we can ensure we're positioned correctly going into the future?
I'm not sure I understood the question. Would you repeat it, please?
Absolutely. Would you be able to, over the shorter term, express exactly the current situation of the city from a seawall standpoint and how FIND plays into this, and basically spread your knowledge on how our city is going to be moving into the future with the seawall situation, but also long-term dredging and how that impacts everything? Because unless you live on the water or you're part of
the bad news is, since the Palm Coast Canal system is man-made, it is not eligible for FIND. So FIND grants cannot be used for that. We did give the city money for Waterfront Park. We did for the kayak trail. So we have provided money, but only for navigable waters. As far as the seawall, that's an issue that I've heard discussed, and I've got my own ideas as to how the city can best do it. But we do not need to create a special taxing district. That I would be very much opposed to. I do have an idea, and I'd share it with you if you have time.
Excellent. Okay, awesome. That concludes my questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Nutz.
Councilmember Cuff?
I'm trying hard to find something that would sound halfway intelligent asking you, John, under the circumstances. And none of my regular questions, I think, need answering, given your years of experience. I guess I would go back a little bit to your opening statement about what it is about the chance to get back in the saddle for about 3 months in the current circumstances that that made you want to do this. I mean, are we just that irresistible, or is it the...
No, not at all. The thing is that, as I started to say, what we do now, or in the next several months, is going to have a direct impact on what we do as a city for the next year. Four people can make those decisions. Three people can make those decisions. But our city charter says five, and it's an odd number, and I think I can just bring something to the discussion. Not that I have the right answers, but at least I have opinions, and I'd be happy to share them with city council.
Yeah, and I guess following up on that, John, what is there any particular area of the budget that you're looking at, given that that's going to be a huge part of what happens in the next few months?
Well,
you talked about needs versus wants, and I think that's a good thing. But anything in particular that you feel that you would focus on if you were on the council again?
Yes. Let me again restate. In any budget, there's the need to haves and there's the nice to haves. In a city, the need to haves typically are infrastructure: roads, sewers, streets, police, fire, public works. Those are the infrastructure. That's what makes you a city. If any of those fail, your city fails. We've seen that with the goings-on elsewhere in the nation. The nice-to-haves are the amenities. They may not be essential, but they're what makes the quality of life here worthwhile. So I think what's important is, as we look at the budget, be sure that we are maintaining our infrastructure. You can't kick the can down the road without having somebody else pick it up. So we've got to maintain our infrastructure. And at the same time, we may have to scale back a little bit on the nice-to-haves, on the amenities, but that's what makes Palm Coast special.
That's all the questions I have right now, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Couple questions I have. You obviously know we're in the middle of a global pandemic that has impacted us greatly. Speaking of the budget, loss in revenue, people are not fueling up as much as they're staying home. So you're familiar with our road maintenance project that hasn't been funded to the level in which our council really wants to see that happen. However, the reality is the revenue is the revenue. Sales tax revenue is down equally.
Gasoline tax.
Yes. Yeah. No one's really shopping right now or you know going to restaurants when they were closed down. So what do you think the three most challenging issues our city is going to face over this budget period that you would feel would be the most impactful to ensure we continue to find ways to fund? You mentioned infrastructure. We've now put our stormwater and our drainage system into a fund that we have a brand new plan that we're focusing on. But take that aside, what other things do you feel the city continued needs to provide as a service to our community, as well as what do you think those challenges are going to be because of a significant loss of revenue?
Again, you have to maintain infrastructure. What might be interesting, though, is to look at alternatives. I was here when ITT left and before we became a city, and the roads just deteriorated. I can remember Jim Holland saying, they're not the best roads, but they're the only roads we've got. We've got to maintain them. So let me suggest a little scenario with you. Let's suppose that you decide you're going to do 10 miles of road a year. Okay, that's fine. Part of that cost is what they call mobilization and demobilization. You send out an RFP or an RFQ, you get some bids back, assuming all the bids are qualified, you take the low bid and you go ahead. But a portion of that bid is mobilization and demob. Suppose you did every second year, 20 miles every 2 years. You're spreading that mobilization, demobilization cost over a longer period, a longer road, so the unit cost actually goes down. Now, the important thing, the crucial thing, if you're going to do every other year, in the off year, you still have to budget the money. That's essentially what we did with our bridges here. We did a two-year alternate. First year, odd number year, you do the maintenance and engineering. Second year, you do the repairs. Start over again. By doing it that way, by spending money on design and engineering, you are committing yourself to budgeting for it. We have to look for some creative ways to do the same things we've always done.
Great. Second to that, obviously, we talk about the time commitment. We know there's a time commitment to serve. You're familiar with our workshops, I know. Are you ready to go as far as the time commitment required to meet the demand that through this budget season that the expectation is going to be an active participant, come to meetings, and ensure, obviously, that you're participating?
Absolutely, 100%.
Great, thank you. Did you have a follow-up?
Yeah, my follow-up question is not as dumb as the other ones. And I'm saying that because one of the questions I ask you is what makes you think you could handle the job, you know? But I had to ask it, okay? As you know, not long ago, we created a mandatory mask wearing here in Palm Coast. What is your position in that, and would you vote? How would you vote if you were here, and what is your position? Why would you vote yes or no?
Keep in mind that my educational background is biology. My master's and bachelor's degree are in biology. My doctoral work was in administration and policy. But as a biologist, I understand as much about this COVID virus as any non-physician might. There's no question in my mind that the mask is effective. There's been study after study after study. I would absolutely vote in favor of mandatory masks. I would absolutely vote in favor of social distancing. It's the only way we're going to save our nation.
Thank you. Great answer. Thank you.
Council members, any further questions before we ask for a closing statement? Seeing none? Thank you, Doug. Okay, please make your closing statement at this time.
Well, if you go back in the history of Palm Coast, the first 8 years, Jim Canfield was mayor. The economy was booming. Palm Coast was the second fastest growing city in the nation. Things were going great. Then we come to 2008, when I took over as mayor. And I don't think it was cause and effect, but that's when our nation went into the Great Recession. So for my years in service, I had to deal with the same issue you talked about, reduced revenues, making tough decisions. I think I'm prepared to do that. Been through that, survived. We will continue to survive. That's all I can tell you. I appreciate your support if you vote for me. If not, good luck to whoever you do pick.
Well, I appreciate you stepping forward. And so we're going to have the third applicant come forward. Ray is going to bring you back. We're going to make a decision following the last interview. Okay? Thank you so much. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome. And thank
very
you
much.
So
I'm
much
glad to be here.
For applying. So what we're going to ask you to do, as we did the other applicants, we're requesting an opening statement. We're asking you to please state your name for the record, and then your 3 minutes will begin. That will be followed up by individual council questions directly to you. We'll start with Council Member Branquino, and then followed by Vice Mayor Clufis, Council Member Cuff, and then myself. And then if there's any follow-up questions, we'll ask at that time, and then we'll ask you to make a closing comment. Okay?
Understood.
So when you're ready, please begin.
All right. My name is William Schreiber. I prefer to be called Bill. I am a scientist, as I stated, and I'm sure that you have looked over my resume and the cover letter. And I would like to add just a couple of quick things to it, clarification. When I moved to Norfolk, Virginia, I was all by myself as far as an employee goes with a startup company. I went down there to start contract work for the U.S. Navy. Over 10 years, I grew it to 13 jobs, 13 individuals, all working for me, and all of them, they were working for the company, but they were under my control. And I wound up having to take care of the office completely, budgetary, up to $4 million, and to make sure all of them were doing a good job, and also to do all the security things, and of course, do my own job. I was a research scientist, so I was applying logic and reason, and I would set up an experiment. I would decide what needed to be collected and done to do the experiment. We would look at what we needed to do analysis for the experiment. And of course, once the analysis is done, we have to write a report, and then we have to give presentations and other things of that nature. So this would took 10 years of my life doing this. When I left the company, I came down to Florida. My sailboat was in Comanche Cove at the time, and I decided at age 42 what I really wanted to do was go sailing for a while I physically was still able to do so. So I came to Florida, I got on my sailboat. I had a friend in St. Augustine who decided that, well, he didn't really decide, he informed me that they needed a physics instructor at St. Augustine High School. I agreed to do the job until they could find a permanent instructor. I really didn't want to do it on a long-term basis. I became certified to teach physics and mathematics, and for the first 10 weeks of the school system, I taught in the school there. I had a very good time with the students, and I really enjoyed it. The permanent instructor came after 10 weeks, and I was sort of sorry that he came. I really would have liked to keep on going that year, but kind of going sailing took effect over me. When I was in Virginia, I forgot to mention just now, that I went to the police academy. They use auxiliary police officers like you do down here. So I became an auxiliary police officer, and after the first 2 years, I was the head of the second precinct.
Okay, that concludes your introduction. We'll now go to the Q&A portion, and feel free in your closing statement to follow up with anything you wanted to mention.
I can do that.
Councilmember Branquino.
Hello, sir. Mr. Schreiber?
Yes. Okay. Schreiber.
Schreiber. You an adventurous person.
I have had a very good life, a very good life. I've really enjoyed it start to stop so far. I don't know when it's going to end. I don't think any of us know that at this time. But
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's been fun.
Reading your letter here, on the third paragraph, I see, how was Xylee? You said you were highly successful. I don't know if this was self-confidence or somebody told you so, but that's good to have. At least you believe in yourself, which is something that some of us sometimes stop.
Okay? Yes.
Now, on the fourth paragraph, you mentioned that there were significant further progress to be obtained. Can you at least name one of those areas that you think that we could significantly?
We're talking about the problems that I foresee in the city at this point in time. Currently, you have a very nasty election going on. Pardon me putting it that way, but I wish everybody would tell me what they're going to do, okay, when they're coming into office. What are they going to do to make the city of Palm Coast better? And I don't like it when people come in and just present problems. It's fine if somebody presents a problem, but let's come up with a suggestion, maybe, if nothing else, for how to apply something to solve that problem. Or, you know, something to give us a little beginning handle to go on. You know, I'm not real fond of whistleblowers, if you will. I understand where they're coming from, okay, and I don't necessarily agree with them, and I don't necessarily disagree with them. But
anyway,
that's one of your problems. The other problem you have is traffic's getting a bit rough, and I'm not sure how we fix that. Florida Park Drive is a good example. That's a never-ending problem. There is no easy solution there. There just isn't.
Right. Regarding the political season or the silly season, not everybody's as lucky as I was, because my opponent when I ran was a gentleman. Mm. And unfortunately, we had people over here drinking red wine and drinking other things. I won't go into that unless I do that face-to-face with a person.
Yes.
Okay. And somebody that just came out and accused City Hall of corruption, I want him to tell me to my face, where am I being corrupt? I'm pretty sure he's listening to this. You could call me and tell me, where am I being corrupt? Because my integrity is all the way up there.
Yes.
I'm sorry that I'm
That's
putting
right.
this to
integrity
you, but this,
is,
you opened the opportunity.
Integrity is a very important thing.
Okay. I have two questions that I asked everybody. Partially, you answered some of them. But that is, what made you apply for this job, and what makes you think you can handle it?
What made me apply? I have absolutely zero desire to go out and campaign for a job of this nature. Just never had that desire. This is a way for me to contribute more to the city of Palm Coast than I'm able to do in any other format at the current time. My wife asked me the exact same question, and she said, they're going to ask you that. And I said, yes, ma'am, I know. I sat there and I read the article in the newspaper and I said, wow, I can do this. I can do that job. I'm analytical. I have a very large amount of common sense. I pick up things very rapidly, and I feel I'm an excellent writer. People used to compliment me all the time on my technical writing for the when the experiments were finished. They loved the format and the way they could read the reports and stuff. I just feel I can possibly offer some innovation. I know I'm not going to set the world on fire. It's 4 months long and I'm gone, and that's okay with me as well. But I really feel I can contribute with some reasonable ideas that might work, and I can guarantee you I'm not a rubber stamp, and I'm also not a seat warmer.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right. Does that conclude?
Now I have one further question, but it went again at the end. Okay.
Vice Mayor Clufus.
How are you, sir? First, I want to thank you, just like every other candidate up here. I'm very grateful that you feel that Palm Coast is worth becoming involved in, and thank you for all the kind things you said about our city. And you certainly had an adventurous life, and I admire that. And it's great to be able to look back and say that you did it right from start to finish. My question that I also asked the first candidate is there a reason why you were looking for an appointment instead of actually running for office in this upcoming election cycle? And if you could just give a brief response to why you would rather be appointed than run. I understand that running for office is a terrible thing to do, and I don't wish it upon anybody, but if you could give us your explanation, I would appreciate that.
If I understand correctly, you want to know why I don't run for office.
Yes.
It's too nasty. It's too messy, very frankly. It's nasty, it's messy, it's extremely time-consuming. I would much rather spend the next 4 months helping the city do things, making decisions as needed, and doing analysis, if you will, of what the best solutions to things are, and move forward that way. And I don't want to get out in public and campaign. I don't mind getting out in public and presenting things. I don't mind coming in here and talking to you folks. I'm enjoying it. But I don't want to sling mud. I wouldn't do that anyway, but I don't want it slung at me either. I prefer just to keep it, to do it this way, and hopefully I do a good job if you select me, and I walk away happy and pleased, and you are too.
Well, I appreciate your candor about running for election, and I think you're spot on there. A follow-up question that I have is there any area of interest or a specific project that you think over the upcoming months of an appointment that you would be able to specifically aid in or lend your expertise to?
Haven't thought about that one at all. I have not given that any thought at this point in time. I'm sure there is something I can contribute significantly to. I don't know what it would be at the current time.
Gotcha. And it sounded like you had experience across the entire, gamut of things. But so I'm sure that budgetary issues and managing a budget is something that you have definitely crisscrossed at some point in the past.
Yep,
is that correct?
Yep. Budget does not bother me at all. I'm quite aware of lots of money. I had a budget that included general and accounting that paid for my office and my telephone and all of these other things. And then, of course, we had the basic cost of salary and all of the benefits that go with it. And we also had the profit at the end of it, which had to be put on as well. And then there's travel and other things. So each year my budget took up setting up the budget for me. The last couple of years with more than 12 employees took about 2 to 3 weeks of my time. And I had to intersplice it in with doing my actual technical job at the same time.
Understood. Again, thank you very much for applying. And Madam Mayor, that concludes my questions. Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you so much. Council Member Cuff.
Mr. Schreiber. Again, thank you for applying. I don't think we can thank the citizens that are willing to do this enough for putting themselves forward. One question I did have is you've obviously been here in this area quite a while. You made reference in your cover letter to voting in the original incorporation election back in the good old days or bad old days, whatever those were. Have you, and I've looked, I found your resume in our last meeting's minutes, and I'm looking through that as we're talking. Have you ever volunteered for any positions with the city or applied for any of the advisory boards or anything of that nature in the time you've been here?
I have looked into applying to the library board. It is full. There was no reason for me to do so at the time. They did not expect any open places. I also thought very seriously about becoming a COP, but very quite frankly, and it doesn't apply too much here, this is a very safe city and our sheriff is doing a wonderful job. I am so happy that he has been doing so. But I thought about doing the COP thing, but very frankly, I would be in a uniform. I would not have a way of protecting myself. I have been in a uniform. I have worn a gun, and I feel much safer, although I thankfully only ever had to even take it out one time. But I would not do a COP under the conditions that I would have to work in. It's just too scary these days.
And one other question that I had, Mr. Schreiber, given what the city's going through right now, and you've said in your application that you follow the city business fairly closely, is there any particular area of the city's budget that you would be looking at especially closely, given our challenges that we're going to be facing, since that is going to be a big part of the job of whoever fills this seat?
I have not looked into all the nuances in the city budget at the current time. I don't know what's allocated where at this point in time, and I don't, I'm aware of what I did was look up how many departments there are in the city, what's going on in the city. Mostly what I do is follow the Observer, I read the News Journal and the News Tribune, and so if I can make a small joke here, that means I'm misinformed instead of being uninformed. You know, if I'm chosen, I will dig in wholeheartedly and pay careful attention and do what I said, go in and dig in and see about the analysis and what needs to be done and whether we're doing things with the good tidings of the taxpayer and the mess of the members of this community.
Thank you. Those are all the questions I have, Madam Mayor.
Great. Thank you. My questions are as follows. Obviously, you're aware we're going through a global pandemic currently, which has caused a tremendous loss in revenue for our city coffers to continue to provide services to our community, coupled with those that have been unemployed and stresses on those businesses. We are in for a very challenging budget season. Your time served on this council would be predominantly focused solely on the budget during that process. We have a lot of meetings during that time period, a lot of workshops. There's a lot of healthy discussion amongst us on what should be prioritized, how do we focus areas that make sense for this year, how can we try to cut out other areas that maybe we have to hold off to a later date. Do you have the time available to commit to that level of requirement as part of this responsibility?
I can say unequivocally I do.
Okay.
I approximately, probably 6-7 years ago, tapered back and ceased doing the substitute teaching in FPC in Matanzas High School. Nowadays, I basically... Well, since the pandemic started, I'm home all the time. I get up, I have my coffee, I spend my day doing things around the house, catching up, cut the grass once a week. I've got 24/7 right now. I have absolutely no irons in the fire. I do have a friend who has a very large ranch over near Tallahassee. There is 1 week in probably September that I will need to go over there, but if I'm selected, I would leave after the budget, workshop on a Tuesday and be back for the next week. It would be the only time I would miss anything. Yes, I fully expect to dive in full bore and have at it if I wind up getting selected.
And speaking of that, you mentioned Florida Park Drive, and I'm in agreement with you. That's a very challenging area of our city that does have a tremendous amount of traffic. What do you see as other challenges in our community that you currently see us, either trying to address or B, trying to find ways to look at maybe doing it differently? We probably have a lot more challenges due to COVID, but what would you say some of those challenges will be?
I think probably the biggest one you have is that we have a lack of jobs in Flagler County. There are a fair number of jobs around, but they're low-paying jobs, and getting in high-paying jobs is a very difficult thing to do in an area such as this, where you really don't have the infrastructure to support it in a lot of cases. I'm wide open at this point in time on the net. I forgot what the second word.
MedNext, yes.
not sure. I got to look into it a lot more. I'm not sure about that one at this point in time. But I believe your biggest problem is coming up with jobs. And I also feel that there's a lot of contention out there about what do we do about more affordable housing. And housing is getting more expensive with each passing day. Can't believe that what mine's worth these days. But I'm not sure how you solve that problem, because building affordable housing is not affordable. The cost of building materials these days is so high, and then you throw in all of the initial fees that are levied by the county and the city and everybody else, and it makes life a little difficult. I'm not sure how we solve that problem. I'd love to look at it. So best I can tell you.
Yeah, I think you've hit both areas that are on our radar and come up often, so thank you for that. Did you have an additional question, Councilmember Branquino?
Just one quick question. Mr. Schreiber, not long ago, we as a council adopted the mandatory mask wearing here in Palm Coast.
Yes.
If you were here at the time of voting, how would be your vote and why?
I would vote for vote affirmative on the mask. Okay, it's not a problem to wear it. I wear mine whenever I go in a building. I wear mine. I do go to dinner, not nearly as much as I used to. I'm hoping to be able to do so again. I wear my mask going in. I sit down. I order. When my food comes, I take my mask off to eat my food. I put my mask back on before I leave. If I need to go to the restroom, I put my mask on the way. I don't believe it is such a problem or an imposition to be safe around other people. I understand some people just can't do that. I was in Publix a few days ago getting some groceries. I saw only two people who did not have a mask on. I believe most people are probably paying attention to it. That's the only public location I've been to in the last, other than here, in about the last week.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, Council, any additional follow-up questions? Nothing? Thank you, Doug. Okay, please feel free to make your closing statement. We're going to ask you to keep within the time limit as well.
Okay, I would just like to say very quickly, I tend to listen a lot. I don't tend in a meeting of this nature to say too much when I'm here. I will interject things if needed. I will ask questions if needed. Otherwise, I find it best to listen. I get a lot smarter that way. I My wife's going to laugh. I know she is. I do have an open mind. I'm a hard-headed SOB, but I do have an open mind. And I will apply what I would consider logical thinking and reasoning. I'll use a scientific approach on everything I possibly can do. I will not necessarily vote with everybody else. I may absolutely be the only vote in one direction, and I will not just keep the seat warm. I will dive in and do whatever you need for me to do. Basically, I am signing up to come here to work for the council, rest of the council, and with the rest of the council for a period of 4 months. Hopefully it will be happy for all of us, and I will be, I think, probably okay with going out the door. But I'm of a sufficient age to where I guarantee you I'm not running for office. That's about it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for coming and applying. We are now going to deliberate as a council and make a decision. So we will let you know following our decision.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care.
Shall I start?
Let's wait till the gentleman gets out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I thought that he went out this way.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. We have three candidates here that are completely different, I would say. You have a young man full of energy and answered the questions pretty well, I might say. You have a good-hearted, peaceful person that makes you want to talk with him a little more, especially because of his common sense. And then you have the other one who's a wealth of knowledge. So this are my comments for now, and then when it comes time to vote, then I'll make my pick.
Okay. Vice Mayor Clufus.
Yes. I would say that I also view them as three separate types of candidates. Obviously, I think that John has the most experience and he has the most knowledge specifically catered to Palm Coast. I would say that Bill, the final applicant, would probably be, just from a experience standpoint, it sounded like he has seen a lot of things and he's been in a lot of different situations and he's been able to handle them well. And the energy that I got from him is that he is indeed level-headed, even though his wife may disagree with him, that he is willing to listen to everyone's concerns and come to a reasonable conclusion. But again, I'm weighing that against the experience of John and the expertise that someone can actually glean from only being in this role for, honestly, a few months. I know that, and I only speak for myself, but everyone can probably agree that once we became elected, it was still at least a few months before we were comfortable making decisions with anything regarding, budgetary expenses, land use issues, utility infrastructure, anything with our road maintenance. These are very complex problems that require a lot of information to really generate an answer or a solution that's going to be applicable in an efficient way. So with that being said, I really focus back on the experience and limited amount of time that this person's going to have to gather that while they're quote unquote on the job.
Thank you for your input. Very much appreciated. Councilmember Cuff.
I think my feelings very much what the Vice Mayor has just said. Back in my time with ITT, one of the corporate cliches was no one ever got fired for buying IBM. And what I understood that to mean was whatever qualities some other company or service provider might bring to the table, it's hard to overcome the kind of experience that our former mayor could bring to the short-term appointment. I'm glad we interviewed all the candidates because I do think they're three very distinct individuals, and I hope whoever we select, the others will continue their interest in what's happening here in the city, because I think they all have valuable traits and interests that I would be happy to see them put to use, if not here for 3 months, you know, in some volunteer capacity on one of our advisory boards or some other area of public service. So I guess that's my summation of it now, and be happy to hear what everybody on the council thinks, and then we'll make a decision and move on.
Yeah, I have to say, I am glad that we had the opportunity to email the short list of applicants. As mentioned by my colleagues, there's no doubt that this is a short-term appointment, one, we're in the midst of a global pandemic, one in the midst of a critical budget season in which, you know, we're going to have to balance a lot of the loss of revenue from the services that we will have to continue to provide as a city to our residents. And I, too, found each applicant brought a unique perspective and certainly a great amount of energy. I was very impressed. It's not easy to stand up at a podium, although it be somewhat an empty city council chambers, but to present to a council, to a governing body, with such confidence and such passion and excitement and enthusiasm to serve your community should be commended, frankly, especially during these times. And so, you know, I wish we had a spot for each of them, frankly, because I think they each bring a different perspective that could add value through the next 4 months as we go through those times. And so I, too, believe without question, you know, one of the applicants certainly stands out for his background and knowledge and understanding of the complexities of the City of Palm Coast budget, not only the different buckets of funds, but the amount of services that in any given day we are providing to our residents. And on top of that, the complexities of the issues that are brought forth to us as a council. It is quite diverse in nature. Every single week, we sit here and we have a variety of topics that we discuss, we debate, we approve, we don't approve, and we weigh out, you know, the options in front of us. And so, you know, my vote tonight will be for John Netz being appointed to the council for this short period of time. But I do want to say that the other two applicants, I would encourage us as a city and a way for us to keep them involved. Again, for them to step up and be sitting at home and want to participate, I think is just extraordinarily admirable, and I found that each of the topic areas that we brought forth, I would like to hear more from them, and I would like to hear a little bit more about what their thoughts are on different issues facing this community. So it was quite an encouraging exchange of ideas, and in a brief period of time. However, I'm appreciative of them giving us this opportunity, and certainly it was a more challenging than what I anticipated coming into this, and you know, that concludes my comments. Bill, since this is other business, are we to take public comment before a motion or after a motion?
You're going to make a decision.
Yeah.
So it would be appropriate under Chapter 166, go ahead and open it up to the public for any comment, because you're making a final decision this evening.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, so we'll ask for a motion in a second, and I'll open it up for the public.
A motion to open up to the public.
What motion? For appointment.
Oh, for the appointment?
Yes.
Okay, I'll make the motion for the appointment.
Yes.
That's what it is. Then are we going to vote?
You're going to
pick up
yes.
a person. All right. In between a gentleman that I really liked and trust, which was a good-hearted man, and the young fool of energy, and the wealth of knowledge, I have to go with a wealth of knowledge, which is Mr. John Netz.
Is that your motion?
That's yes.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. We'll now open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number F2, please do so at this time by calling in at 386-223-1690. You'll hit star 9 to be unmuted, and your 3 minutes will begin. Roll call, please, Kate.
Vice Mayor Klufas?
Yes.
Councilmember Tuff?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes. I would ask that we write a letter thanking the other candidates and for have each of our council members sign it.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Congratulations. We will now bring John Netz in as well. So, first of all, we want to say our selection process was challenging because each applicant brought a unique perspective to this process, and we really felt very appreciated by the comments that were made. By the comments that were made tonight by each of the council members, we felt that John Netz, in this short period of time, would bring about a strong background in city budgeting, in particular the city of Palm Coast, through these times, and would add value and would be able to hit the ground running. And that was something that we felt was needed during this time period. And so we want to thank you for applying. I've also asked that we keep you engaged because I felt I would love to continue the conversation with some of the ideas and concepts brought forth tonight that I would like to hear more about because I think you really brought some interest to this council as far as the topics that you brought forth. So please remain engaged as part of a resident of the City of Palm Coast. We will make you aware of different volunteer opportunities for different boards and councils and committees, but we don't want to discount the fact that you stepped forward, submitted your name, and each and every one of us was incredibly impressed. So thank you. Okay, thank you. So, John, if you will come forward, you'll be sworn in at this time.
One other thing I have to do before I get sworn in. I have to put my resignation in for the code board.
Oh, okay. I'm like, okay.
I'm ready.
Congratulations. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I. John Netz.
John Netz.
Do solemnly swear
that I will support, protect, and defend
the Constitution and government of the United States of this and of the state of Florida.
The Constitution and what was it?
The Constitution and government of the United States
and of the state of Florida.
Thank you. That I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution.
That I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution.
And that I will well and faithfully perform the duties of council member.
I will well and faithfully perform the duties of council member.
Of the city of Palm Coast. On which I am now about to enter. So
on which I'm now about to enter. So help me God.
Thank you. Well, you can
thank you very much. I will do my best.
Thank you. Thank you again to both of the applicants. And again, we really, frankly, we're just very impressed. It was a tough decision, so thank you.
Very impressive.
Yes.
Right there, okay. 6 feet away from me. Make sure.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ooh, look at that. That's the old one, eh?
I've got a couple of those at home.
Okay, so that moves to agenda item number 2 and 3. The oath has been taken. Council, any comments you want to make to the newly appointed member of our council?
Listen, my only comment is just help us with all your knowledge, because that describes you as a wealth of knowledge. Please, don't make me look bad.
when it comes to that definition, okay?
That's why there are five people on city council. Five opinions, majority rules.
Very good.
I would just like to say congratulations, John. I mean, your experience here, I'm with Eddie that we're going to be able to really benefit from everything that you've seen, specifically that's happened in Palm Coast. You're a major part of getting us to where we are today, and you've gone through some of the same struggles for different reasons, because of the economic downturn with the housing crisis that we are going to be going through now because of the global pandemic, different catalysts that got us into the same situation. So hopefully the solutions will be similar, and we'll be able to emerge from this. But again, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Councilmember Cuff.
Congratulations, John, for all the reasons you've already heard. My only other comment was my vote was premised in large part on the assumption that we can save 10 or 20 bucks by not having to buy you a new name tag and badge. I hope you saved the old one.
I've got them.
Okay, well, when you've got the kind of depth in the bullpen that Mr. Netz can bring forth, I think we're lucky to have him and have you. And look forward to maybe actually sitting next to you on the dais at some point before your term is up. So,
Thank you very much.
We'll see. Congratulations.
Thank you, Bob.
And I will add to that, congratulations and welcome back. Thank you for stepping up and applying. It really means a lot, and I look forward to working with you, and I also look forward to diving in to this very challenging budget season we will have and hearing all your ideas.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll now move to agenda item number G4, which is a proclamation, whereas water is a basic and essential need of every living creature, and whereas one of the primary goals of the City of Palm Coast Utility Operations Division is to protect the public health of its customers, and whereas the city's water quality monitoring program is based on the requirements of the United States Environmental Protection Agency's National Primary and Secondary Drinking Water Regulations, and whereas August is National Water Quality Month, which was founded in 2005 by the EPA to promote conservation of our natural water sources and discuss what we can do in our own households and communities to have access to safe, clean drinking water. And whereas the city is participating in the Wyland National Mayor's Challenge for Water Conservation, an annual challenge usually held in April, this year it is occurring August 1st to the 31st due to COVID-19. And whereas the challenge is a nonprofit national community service campaign to inspire residents to make a series of simple pledges at mywaterpledge.com to use water more efficiently, reduce pollution, and save energy. And whereas the City of Palm Coast has always encouraged and supported water conservation through various educational programs and special events, and therefore it be proclaimed by the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, does hereby declare the month of August Water Quality Month, and calls upon every citizen and business to help protect our precious resource by practicing water saving measures and becoming more aware of the need to save water. Adopted August 4th, 2020, signed by your mayor, Melissa Holland. I understand we're just reading this tonight because we do not have any staff that's going to be accepting it other than just recognition, correct? Okay, so now we will go to agenda item number G5, which is a presentation on our utility awards.
Thank you. Good evening, Honorable Mayor, City Council. We have Renina Full here tonight to present a recent utility award that our team has won.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, City Council, and congratulations to our newest City Council member. Let me get this on here.
Yes.
Technology.
I know. okay. First of all, I'm so honored to be here this evening so I can share with you one of the many outstanding achievements that our water department has experienced. The Southeast Desalting Association, also called CEDA, is an affiliate of the American Membrane Technology Association. CEDA is dedicated to the improvement of the quality of water supplies through membrane desalting and filtration, water reuse, and other water sciences. CEDA's objectives involve the promotion of available technologies that improve water quality, education, training and certification of plant operation personnel. They also provide effective communication to their members to help the development of meaningful interface with regulatory agencies, technology transfer, and the protection of our environment. Members of this association focus their concerns with environmental regulations and legislation, process design, equipment, machine, plant operations and maintenance, as well as research and development. They provide their members with the latest information on water research programs and regulatory updates. I want to say congratulations to the City of Palm Coast Water Treatment Plant Number 2 on their outstanding membrane plant award for a large facility. Now I'm going to turn it over to Director Flanagan, who will go into more detail regarding this outstanding achievement.
Thank you, Renina, and good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for taking the time and recognizing our staff at Water Treatment Plant Number 2. Just a little history and information about Water Plant Number 2. The facility was originally built in the early 1990s as the city's second water plant and one of the first Florida membrane treatment facilities. The facility has been expanded and upgraded several times since those early 90s. Several of the current staff have been instrumental in the studies and final design improvements to the facility over those years. I've had the pleasure of knowing and working alongside several of these staff members for many years and would like to individually recognize them for their service to our community. That is Mr. Fred Greiner, chief operator of the plant with 22 years of service to our city. Mr. Grant Newland, lead operator, 15 years of service. Robert Nelson, operator 3, 6 years of service. Kevin Karshner, maintenance lead tech, 15 years of service. Richard Bellotta, operator 3, 14 years of service. Antonio Myers, operator 2, 6 years of service. Tom Williams, operator 1, 6 years of service. Anna Patrick, operator 1, 9 months of service and our rookie on the team. Mr. Eugene Warmuth, maintenance tech number 2, 5 years of service. We talk a lot about essential workers these days for good reason. I would like for you to consider these utility folks along with the rest of our utility staff and the other hardworking city staff members to be viewed as essential to our good health. I would also like to recognize Mr. Peter Roussel for the outstanding work efforts he has provided the city for 27 years. Peter, a utility systems manager who is on the Zoom meeting with us tonight, manages the entire water operations group. I would also like to thank our HR and communications staff for their efforts on working on this presentation. In closing, I would like to again thank you, Mayor, Council, and our city manager for this opportunity to share and recognize some of our fine staff members tonight.
Well, you know, on behalf of the City Council, you know, thanks is never enough. I agree 100%. These are essential workers. We should be very proud of every single member of your team who not only provide a critical service to our community, but do it extraordinarily well. I often wonder what we're going to do with all these years of service when someone retires, because it makes me very nervous. because this is a very complicated system, but one that does provide clean water for our residents. And so thank you again for all your hard work. This recognition is well deserved, and we should all be very proud of everyone in your team. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yep. I was just going to congratulate the water team as well and say thank you to Stephen, but also everyone that contributes to moving the ball forward, and just say that every experience I've always had, whether it be physically at the wastewater treatment plants or being informed on how the SCADA deployment is working to the automated metering infrastructure. I mean, you guys really have a group of individuals that are forward-leaning and forward-thinking, and I've always been impressed, and I'm thankful to have you guys, because our water operation is not something that is an easy operation to keep going, and it's critical, and a lot of people will take it for granted until you know, you don't have water. So it's one of those things that if everything is working correctly, it's like magic, and you don't even realize it, but there's a lot of people and a lot of effort behind the scenes. So thank you.
Thank you, Mike, Vice Mayor.
Okay, any other comments?
Not at this point.
Okay. All right, thank you again. Keep doing great things. We will now move to agenda item number G6, which is a presentation on COVID-19 updates.
Thank you again, Alderman, City Council. We have Chief Forger here tonight to discuss the most current COVID-19 update. I know the update's brief. Situation has remained normal. Let them talk about that, as normal as it is in these last coming weeks. And of course, as you know, this past week was our trial run for hurricane season. And really proud of the time and energy that the Chief, Captain Ascone, the whole EOC team throughout the weekend put together. But with that, if Chief Forger could introduce the update tonight.
Good evening, Mayor and Council, and welcome aboard, Mr. Netz, again. It's good to have you on board. Tonight, we're going to have a presentation, a quick presentation by Captain Ascone. We dodged the proverbial bullet with the hurricane turning into a tropical storm staying off coast. But what was really good and proud is the buildup to it and the response from the staff on making it happen. So I'm going to turn it over quickly to Tommy for his update and an update on the COVID as well. Cap.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, Mayor, Council. Mr. Netz, congratulations. Great to have you back again. Quickly, with our COVID stats, in the state of Florida, there's 497,330 cases. There's 961 cases here in Flagler County. 728 of them are in the city of Palm Coast. We've had 79 hospitalizations. Unfortunately, we've had 13 fatalities, two recent. Our testing numbers are 13.12% statewide. However, in Flagler County, we're at 6.72%. We have seen a decrease in COVID-like hospitalizations and ED visits since July 12th, so that has been trending downward, which has been fantastic. For our city staff, the fire department has issued out masks to each firefighter and county employee working in the buildings. We are working on social distancing. We're still limiting the access of family members and crews into the stations. We have continued to follow CDC guidelines as well as Governor DeSantis's recommendations. He has recently extended Executive Order 2069, extending virtual meetings through September 1st. With that order, we're going to stay in concert with and keep City Hall closed until we start seeing a better trend to reopen. As I have previously stated many times, we are still able to provide a very high service to our citizens through Palm Coast Connect. We are operating really efficiently, at the same time keeping our staff safe, so we can be there for our citizens. And that was very evident this past week when the tropical storm came through. There was a lot of things that we had to get together. We had the staff available to provide the service for the citizens. We had daily briefings with our executive team. We met with our counterparts with the county. Our public works department set up sandbag operations. And together with staff, they filled a number of sandbags for the citizens. Our IT department set up our EOC at City Hall for us. We did not have to stand it up. We had planned on it, but the last moments, the 5 p.m. advisory pushed the storm further east, and we did not need to stand that up. But we did stand up additional staffing fire-wise. We set up an engine to go an extra 24 hours, a high water vehicle for victim rescue that we were going to work with Flagler Beach with, as well as some wood trucks to take away some storm debris. Fortunately, with the storm changing direction, all we kept up was our high water vehicle, so that if Flagler Beach did have some storm surges, we were able to help provide assistance for that agency. Our call center was activated for 24 hours, but after 11 p.m., we turned down the call center. I believe they only received 70 or 80 calls throughout the day. So we were able to really dodge that bullet locally, which was fantastic. We're doing everything we possibly can to keep our staff focused and safe. And with that, I will turn it back over to Chief Forte. Thank you.
Mayor, remain diligent in what we've got to do. We've got the crews that have been working at 100%. Our staff is up to 100%. No one's COVID related. We had one firefighter that was out with COVID for 2 weeks. They're back to work and doing well. Basically, if you have any questions for us, we're here to answer anything. But what you're going to see for the next month is pretty much the same style report. We're going to keep an eye on trending, making sure that the community is well aware of where we're at. Obviously, the last, I would say, 4 weeks with the introduction of the mask ordinance, that we're seeing a lot more mask ordinance, and it's having an effect on the community, and it's a positive effect. And I think if we keep moving in the same direction, that we're going to see this steady trend going downward, which is what we're looking for. A couple of the catalysts that to be aware of: in 2 weeks, we start going back to school. That could have an impending spike on response. But we'd also have other things that we were working on in the community. We're working with parks and other department members on trying to make the kids safe when they're going out playing ball again. So if any questions, we'll be happy to answer.
Really quickly again, we continue to say thank you for months of very serious response efforts that's been very coordinated with the county, so that's much appreciated. However, this is a marathon. We talk about it all the time, so please stay safe out there. Continue to get rest in between and make sure that you guys stay healthy. We need you to be as healthy as possible. So we are standing here with you, and we will continue to be. Council, any particular questions for our chief or Captain Esconi in particular for the presentation?
Just thank you for the job you're doing. Keep on doing it, my friends. Keep on doing it.
Thank you.
Are you going to get any convalescent plasma?
That would be nice.
Any other time? Okay. Thank you so much again. Keep up the great work. We'll now do agenda item number H7, which is an ordinance. Mr. Reichman.
Yes, Mayor, Council. This is the ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, amending the City of Palm Coast Unified Land Development Code to define and regulate the operations and locations of small box discount stores by amending Chapter 3, Section 3.03.02, non-residential and mixed-use districts, allowable use, amending Chapter 14, Glossary, providing for legislative findings and intent, providing for implementing administrative actions for severability, codification for conflicts, and providing for an effective date. Mayor, Council, this is the first read of a legislative matter.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Honorable City Council. Just by way of quick reminder, this ordinance came to the Council's attention by way of a lot of input from the community asking the city to reevaluate compatibility in specific instances with residential neighborhoods, residential streets, and types of business. As you are aware, and everyone's aware, from time to time, it is a wise thing to re-examine those zoning ordinances to ensure that we are remaining compatible with the intentions of the Land Development Code, and more importantly, the desires of the community. This would have been to you sooner through some of the management challenges with PLDRB, closures of City Hall, and some other things. This has taken a while to come back, but it is back to you tonight for the first read. And we have Ray Tyner, oh, it's now Jason, here to present where we're at and the status of this.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, Jason DiLorenzo and Ray Tyner from Community Development Department, and we're going to do this together. I'm going to cover the how we got here part, and then Ray will describe what recommendations the Planning Board made through your guidance at a previous workshop. So we started this back on January the 14th and with legislation in progress. And then we brought that forward to the PLDRB on February the 19th. And then on March the 3rd, you approved the moratorium for a 90 days with a 130-day extension on March the 3rd. On March the 10th, we came to your workshop and discussed some of the regulations for small box discount stores, and some of the things that came out of that meeting were prohibiting them in neighborhood commercial or COM1 zoning districts, looking at a distance separations between the different operations, and the compatibility of the stores when adjacent to residential uses. March 17th, we were going to bring back the second reading of the moratorium, but that was canceled due to precautions due to COVID-19. We were right at the beginning then. And then at the June 16th regular business meeting, you did the second reading of the moratorium for 60 days with that ordinance expiring on August the 15th. As part of this, we needed to establish a definition for what a small box discount store is, because we didn't have such a definition. And we looked at some different municipalities around the country, and this is what we ended on: a retail store that is 16,000 square foot or less in size, which offers for sale a variety of convenience shopping goods, and continually offers the majority of the items in their inventory for sale at a price lower than traditional retail stores. And then we put some specifics on it for what they were not. I think you are familiar with this map. We've showed it to you a few times. It depicts where the current six small box stores are located. The orange areas are our neighborhood commercial or COM1. The lighter red color is COM2, and the darker red color is COM3. As far as the stores we currently have, they range in size from 7,500 to 12,000 square feet. They are mainly found in our COM2 or MPD zoning districts. They're generally not clustered in any area, and they range in operation distance from 0.6 to 4.5 miles from each other. And Ray's going to pick up the proposed amendments.
Great. Let me just summarize today's code. Would allow these small boxes to go within our neighborhood commercial, which is COM1, our general commercial, which is COM2, and our high-intensity commercial, which is COM3, and within our MPD, or Master Plan Development Zoning District. That's today. Typically, our COM2 and our COM3 zoning, that's usually typically sited on our major corridors, you know, our four Palm Coast Parkway, Old Kings Road, State Road 100. Usually, that's where your prime commercial corridor is. Same thing with our master plan developments. Our zoning districts are usually large developments, and they're abutting major corridors as well. Next, Jason, our COM1 zoning district, that's what we generally term our general neighborhood commercial. Those are typically located in some of our two-lane highways, neighborhood roads. Typically, they are abutted by residential development in our neighborhood commercial. We have one small box that is located on Matanzas. That's the only one right now that is within our neighborhood commercial.
So what the planning board did is what they recommended is that we do not permit these in our neighborhood commercial. And we allow these in our COM 2 and our COM 3 and within our master plan development if it's specifically cited for. The other thing that the planning board recommended is that even though they would be allowed in the COM 2 and the commercial 3, that if they were within 500 feet of a residential property, then those would require a special exception. And what a special exception would require would be one public hearing with the Planning and Land Development Regulations Board. And typically what special exceptions are, they're not by right, they would require this process. This would be a public process, open to the public. And typically it provides staff recommendation along with planning board to put any additional requirements, such as if you're abutting a residential neighborhood, maybe increasing your landscape buffer, for example, or maybe doing something with the lighting and that type of activity. So that provides that special requirements in a public hearing. Now, I would say a lot of our COM 2 and COM 3, like I stated previously, are not within a residential neighborhood, but we may have some. So if one comes in, then they would require a special exception. So the next slide is basically the summary. And this is a table that was in our land development code and recommended by our planning board. As you can see, we have the small box discount stores, which Mr. DeLorenzo has the definition that we would add as part of the land development code. We would not allow it in COM 1. And you can see the P's for permitted within COM 2 and COM 3 and within the master plan development zoning district as well. And then you can see the footnote on the bottom there that we already have existing because with some of our other uses, we require a neighborhood meeting or a special exception if it's 500. So we have that asterisk that we added along with it. So that was our Planning and Land Development Regulations Board recommendation. And Mr. DeLorenzo and I are here for any questions you might have.
Right. Thank you for that presentation. And again, just to clarify, this doesn't state that small box stores cannot exist in Palm Coast. It's just identifying the locations that we would feel would be appropriate throughout our city commercial corridors.
That's correct.
Okay. Council, any questions or comments on this item?
No, not at this point.
Okay. The only comment I would have is this seems consistent with the idea of Euclidean zoning, and it seems perfectly appropriate.
I see none either. We'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number H7, please do so at this time by calling in at 386-223-1690. Thank you, Doug. Okay, I'll take it back to council. Entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Your second.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Tuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Nitz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, we'll now move to the resolutions portion of the agenda. Agenda item number I-8 is a resolution approving an interlocal agreement with St. John's County Industrial Development Authority for the issuance of bonds for the Palm Coast project.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. Actually, tonight Bill Reichman is going to introduce and then turn it over to Jason DeLorenzo for a discussion and presentation.
Get to hear from Bill again.
Yeah, twice one night. Mayor Council, this is an exciting agenda item. This comes to the City of Palm Coast at the behest of the Florida Hospital Not-for-Profit Corporation, which is identified in all your agenda items as the borrower. And what that means is that they are going to get some money from St. John's County Industrial Development Authority, which is an industrial development board, and it's a statutory process identified in your agenda item under Chapter 159. And our role is a limited role, and I'm sure Mr. DiLorenzo will explain it in more detail, but basically the statute requires, since some of the facilities, some of the projects that are going to be built with the money that is being borrowed by the hospital are going to be built in the city of Palm Coast. This Florida legislature requires that the local government in which this project is going to be built is aware of it, not just is aware of it, but understands what it's going to entail, the type of infrastructure that will be necessary, and is fully informed so that they can be involved and approve the construction of this with the monies that are public funds from this industrial development board. And so that's why you have before you this resolution, which is calling for the execution of an interlocal agreement between a development authority in the city of Palm Coast. And there's one thing that I'm sure Jason's going to tell you, but it's really, really important. We're not the borrower. No city funds in any way, shape, or form are obligated. It's only the revenues of the project and of the hospital are on the hook for this debt. So there's it's a positive. It's a positive for the city and for the taxpayers and for the economy.
Thank you very much.
That's my editorial.
Wow.
Tell us what you really
all think. All in clear.
Yeah, Jason.
Mayor, City Council, yes. Jason DiLorenzo again. This is going to be redundant, I think, after that. So cut me off if you like.
Sorry, Jason.
Yeah, sure. So yes, this is an industrial development bond being issued by the St. Johns County Industrial Development Authority. And as Mr. Reichman said, it's non-recourse to the city, so we have no obligation to it. The reason why we're seeing it is that, yes, there's a proposed project in Palm Coast, and these bonds will help pay for that project, and also renovations that occurred at 145 City Center, our neighbor building here in Town Center, where the office, they've already acquired and moved into and built out some offices there as well. So the St. Johns County Industrial Development Authority is involved because of those projects, and the hospital projects are being financed, and some other bonds are being refinanced as part of this for this project and some other projects in St. Johns County. The statutory procedure requires the local government to sign off on the issuance because of the criteria in Florida Statute Section 159.29(3) that the local agency in which the project is to be located will be able to cope satisfactorily with the impact of such project and will be able to provide or cause to be provided when needed the public facilities, including utilities and public services, that will be necessary for the construction, operation, repair, and maintenance of the project, and on account of any increase in population or other circumstances resulting therefrom. There wouldn't be any increase in population. It's not residential in nature. As you know, the city's in a strong position to as it comes to infrastructure, and we'll be able to handle the impacts related to the project. We have a representative from the hospital on Zoom, I believe, if you would like to hear from them.
Council, any questions or comments about this issue?
Nope.
Okay. Seeing none, I will open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number I-8, please do so at this time. Bring it back to this council. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt this resolution.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Brancino?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes. Thank you. Agenda item number I-9 is a resolution approving the Community Development Block Grant Federal Fiscal Year 2020 Annual Action Plan.
Thank you again, Honorable Mayor, City Council. This item was heard, as was number 10, at the workshop on July 14th. There have been no changes to the suggested item, but Jose Papa is here again to present the summary of those changes and answer any questions council may have.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor, members of City Council, and Mr. City Manager. This item was previously presented at a workshop, and with the the board's indulgence, I would like to present for both item I-9 and I-10 at this time, since they're related. So moving on, first item is our 2020 annual action plan for CDBG. And just to provide, again, some background on it, we're required as part of the program to complete a consolidated plan, a strategic plan, and this item, a one-year annual action plan, which gets into the details of how we intend to spend CDBG funds in the upcoming year. There are some other documents that we do on an annual basis. Again, CDBG activities need to meet one of the national objectives of the program to benefit low and moderate income persons or area, to prevent or eliminate slum or blight, and or to address an urgent community development need. Some examples of projects and programs that have been funded throughout the country include housing-related activities, public services, which on a typical year are limited to 15% of the grant allocation. But due to the CARES Act, there is a flexibility provided that removes this cap. So with the 2020 allocation, we are able to spend greater than 15% of that allocation on public services. Additional items or additional activities include economic development, infrastructure improvements, and of course, up to 20% of the allocation may be spent on planning, administration, and monitoring of the program. Typically in the city of Palm Coast, our activities have been with homeowner repair assistance, public service, such as the summer camp that the city provides every year, and funds for program administration and planning. During the advisory board meeting, which is the Citizens Advisory Task Force, they provided one comment that they wanted included in the action plan, and that is that for staff to start analyzing and looking into providing or creating a first-time home buyer down payment assistance program as an additional activity for our housing activities. So, just to sum up where the funds will be spent this year, for our housing program, which includes $30,000 from program income that we received this year, and that was due to the sale of a home that was previously assisted with CDBG funds, we'll allocate $163,387. Again, with the waiver of the fiscal year 20 allocation, approximately $300,000 will be allocated for a public service grant program, that's for our nonprofits to receive funding to assist them with their work to address the COVID crisis. And finally, planning administration monitoring. Typically, this is a small amount for the city, but in this upcoming year, we intend to spend a little more, $75,000, to assist with the administration and monitoring of these programs. So given all that, there's $538,387 available for CDBG activities in the upcoming year, and those are the activities that were recommended by our advisory task force or the advisory board. Moving on to the next item, I-10. And this is, item I-10 is an amendment to previous annual action plans, specifically fiscal year 2017 and 2018 annual action plan. And the background here is that in those years, we allocated $175,000 for the Seminole Woods Neighborhood Multi-Use Path. After completion of that path, which included funding from DOT and construction work by Public Works, there were some unused funds available, $135,868 from fiscal year 2017 and $175,000 from fiscal year 2018. So totaled together, those are $310,868, and those funds are proposed to be reallocated to our housing rehabilitation activity. That's to help make up for the shortfall, or not shortfall, but the reduced amount that we would propose from the 2020 allocation, since we'd like to allocate more of that for our nonprofit public service grant. During the Citizens Advisory Task Force public hearing, they did recommend approval of those amendments. So the next steps for the program would be to submit the amendments to HUD, and that approval tonight will allow us to meet our deadline of August 15th for submittal of these plans. And I'll be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Council, are there any questions at this time for either agenda item number 9 or agenda item number 10? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 9? We'll start there. And agenda item number 10. Take it back to this council. If I could ask for a motion on 9 first.
Move approval of agenda item number 9.
Second it.
Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Cupp?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion carried unanimously.
Thank you. Now, if I can entertain a motion to for agenda item number 10, please.
I'll move to approve that motion.
For a second.
Second.
Aye. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Cupp?
Yes.
Councilmember Francino?
Yes.
Councilmember Metz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes. Thank you. Agenda item number 11 is a resolution establishing the Parks and Recreation Impact Fee.
Thank you again, Honorable Mayor, City Council. This was brought before Council for the second read and adopted on July 7th and went back through discussions from the HBA on implementation, specifically of how the Parks and the adjusted Parks and Recreation will be implemented, and we have Jason DiLorenzo tonight to report on that process and where the status of that is.
Mayor, City Council, at your July 7th meeting, you asked us to work with the Home Builder Association on a tiered approach to the park impact fee. And in our discussions with them, we worked towards a two-year approach, and that will be starting with a $349.88 increase starting this October the 20th. Which will bring the fee to $1,199.12 in the October of 2021. We will index the fee as required in the ordinance, and then we will add a 25%, which is the $174.94, and then we will do the same thing in October of 2022, where we will index and then add the final 25%. So a two-year tier, 50% now, then 25, and then 25.
And
they were, they okay. were, yes, we came to okay. agreement that was a good way to move forward, yes.
Okay. Councilor, are there any questions on this particular agenda item? We'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make a public comment on agenda item number 11, please do so at this time. Close public comment. Take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Yes.
Councilmember Cobb?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you, Jason, for going back and finding a resolution.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 12 is a resolution approving piggybacking the Pasco County contract with Design Lab Incorporated for the purchase of uniforms for the city's fire department.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. There's been a lot of innovation happening at the city, as council and the community is aware. Innovation across the way we do business through Palm Coast Connect, through work orders, just tremendous amount of things. But sometimes these innovations come in small t-shirt size packages, and really proud of the fire department for looking at new ways of doing business that are more efficient, more cost effective, and again serve our staff and our community better. So tonight we have Chief Forte and Brad Clark to discuss their new proposal for the way they work with uniforms.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council members, and Mr. Netz, thank you for your service and welcome back. I'm Brad Clark. I'm the Deputy Fire Chief. It is my pleasure to present a resolution to approve piggybacking the Pasco County contract with Design Lab Incorporated for the purchase of a uniform for the City Fire Department. Consistent with the strategic goal number 3 of the City Council finance, specifically increasing efficiency through enhanced operations and technological advancements, fire administrators propose to purchase fire department uniform apparel through Design Lab Incorporated on an online store. Our department staff from all ranks assembled on a uniform apparel team to evaluate the current uniform and purchasing process compared to Design Lab's online store and apparel items. Unanimously, the team voted to move away from the current process of renting uniform apparel and purchasing t-shirts once a year to the uniform store program, where the store is open to each employee and volunteer throughout the year. The uniform team members will ensure the same professional image and quality apparel while empowering all 105 department members to purchase specifically for their needs within an annual budgeted allotment. The selected items will be available in a department-specific online store platform and invoice monthly to fire admin. The purpose of this action results from combining the two different uniform apparel purchases we make each year, one, renting uniforms, and two, the t-shirt purchases. Those two together total just over $30,000. So the annual budget for the online store will total a little over $30,000, requiring council approval, but the overall budget for what the department spends on uniform apparel will not increase as a result of this change. Staff recommends adoption of this resolution approving piggybacking the Pasco County contract with Design Labs for the purchase of uniforms for Palm Coast Fire Department, firefighters, and volunteers. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Councilor, is there any questions on this particular agenda item? Open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 12, please do so at this time. Thank you, Doug. Take it back to this council and entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion to adopt that resolution.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you for your innovation as well. Agenda item number 13 is a resolution accepting 2020 assistance to firefighters grant program COVID-19 supplemental grant for first responder PPE.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. Tonight we have for presentation and discussion, I believe, as my agenda reflects, Battalion Chief Kyle Berryhill to discuss the grant, how it will be applied, and the grant award.
Good evening, City Manager, Honorable Mayor, and Council. I'll be standing in for Battalion Chief Berryhill, who had a scheduling conflict, and I apologize for that omission. It occurred after the agenda. I do want to give, as we go through this, the credit to Kyle Berryhill, who made application and received the good news. Again, I'm Brad Clark. I'm the Deputy Fire Chief here, and it's my pleasure to present a resolution to accept the 2020 Assistance to Firefighter Grant Program COVID-19 Supplemental Grant for First Responder Personal Protective Equipment. Consistent with City Council Strategic Goal Number 3, Finance, specifically seeking to diversify our funding sources, Fire Department staff applied for a federal matching grant under the Department of Homeland Security, under FEMA, and the U.S. Fire Administration's grant program. The grant project includes the purchase of the canister filter respirators used by first responders to filter airborne hazards, including COVID-19 and other similar diseases. The grant funding includes 90% federal share and 10% local match. The grant project totals $2,514, of which $2,285.45 is federal share, and $228.55 of local match. The local match is included in the Fire Department's fiscal year 2020 operating budget. Staff recommends adoption of resolution accepting 2020 Assistance to Firefighter Grant Program COVID-19 Supplemental Grant for First Responder PPE. I would be more than happy to answer any questions.
Council, any questions on this particular agenda item?
Yes. How many units are you going to acquire for this money?
I apologize. Just one moment.
Okay.
120, sir. Is the that, unit price is $20.95.
Is that supplementing what we already have, or is this essentially a new item?
One of the successes that Palm Coast Fire Department had in the very early days of the outbreak of the pandemic was that the fire chief, instead of chasing the medical grade N95 mask, the fire chief made a decision to pursue a canister respirator that fit on the self-contained breathing apparatus mask of our firefighters. We worked with our supplier from the brand that we wear. We were able to secure those and received them in a relatively quick turnaround. It was less than 21 days. We just recently put into use the remaining adapters that attach the canister to our respirator. So this program is continuing. These canisters will simply replenish the supply. As you heard earlier from Captain Nasconi and Chief Forte, this will not end anytime soon. We're able to wear these masks for more than 45 days. In fact, you can technically wear them until you can't breathe through them any longer. They are a P100 grade cartridge respirator, which gives us the type of protection we need when medical interventions are underway with a COVID positive patient, which we deal with on a daily basis. So this is really about replenishing our stock and getting us ready for what looks like to be another long duration of this bout.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Does that conclude your questions, Council Member? Does that conclude your questions?
It does.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments from Council at this time? Thank you, Doug. We'll open it up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 13, please do so at this time. Thank you very much. Okay, I'll take it back to this council and entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt this resolution.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Lucas?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquina?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Hall?
Yes. Thank you very much. Agenda item number 14 is a resolution approving an increase in the contingency fund by $116,286 for the Holland Park Phase 2 Improvement Project.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. We have Carl Cody here tonight to present and discuss. This is really coming to you as a decision point. For the park project, we discovered several months ago that large pieces of coquina veneer were falling off the Sugar Mill playground. They were falling from great heights and presented an untenable situation. I know Bill and Carl and the team did a lot of work with the surety in trying to recover those funds for costs of installation and some of the materials. So tonight we have a decision point, essentially. Do we go back to trying to remove and replace this coquina veneer that we know failed? We don't know all the reasons why it failed, or to move forward with a spray type application, very similar. I don't have a better analogy, I'm sorry, to what Disney does, that we've used before at the park, that essentially will last for decades and decades with no pieces to fall off. So Carl's going to cover that history tonight. I really want to frame it as a decision point. That's why I came to council tonight, to give us some guidance on this project. Carl, if you would please present and move to the presentation.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm here to give you a brief overview of where kind of we are with the improvements in Holland Park, and then specifically to talk about decision point that the city manager indicated. Holland Park, obviously phase two is underway with construction. I kind of highlighted five of the big areas of work that has occurred or is occurring. We're renovating the Pavilion 3 with restrooms, replacing the bocce ball courts and adding a covering, expanding the playground areas and splash park, adding sports activity lighting, adding shade pavilions in the dog park and other locations throughout the park, and constructing a maintenance building. So just a status, the maintenance building's complete and in use by city staff. The bocce ball courts are constructed, the covering's in place, the bocce ball users are very happy, it's lit, it's doing very well. Pavilion 3 restroom renovations are complete. The bathrooms are done. It's open for public use. The shade pavilions, again, are all done and in place, and the sports activity lighting is done. So basically, everything outside the playground splash park area is completed and open for use. Right now, we have a work underway in the playground. A lot of the playground components are complete. The primary work is at the splash park, and there's a substantial completion date, December 21st, for all that work to be done. And then we also have the ongoing project to add security cameras, which is separate from the phase two project, but an independent one that is ongoing, and work has begun to start implementing that project. So I wanted to touch upon tonight the specific item that we need to address is the coquina veneer. So we'll get into more in a few details going over some history. So we have three locations at the park where we have the coquina veneer. Basically, the two entry points into the playground. So there's one by the restroom building and then one along the roadway. And then within the playground, there's playground equipment. We have the old sugar mill ruin structure. All those were constructed during phase one of the project a few years ago. During the construction of phase one, the initial contractor, we were having some problems with timing, with payment to subcontractors, with the quality of the work going in place, and the city moved forward with terminating that contract. We put in a claim to the surety, who came out to the project and completed the work. They went in and removed some defective work that the city identified that was not acceptable to the city. One of those items was this coquina veneer back then. So it was completely stripped down. The veneer that was there was thrown away. New veneer was purchased. A new subcontractor was brought in by the surety, and a complete new installation was put into place. It was inspected by city staff, by building department. There were no issues with the installation when the work was completed. Over time, there's a two-year warranty period, there were a couple stones that became loose and fell off. We put in a warranty claim with the surety and the subcontractor. They quickly came out, they assessed the issue, they repaired it, they inspected the surrounding work in other areas and found no other problems at the time that these instances occurred. It was just two instances within that two-year period and just a few stones. So there was really no issue. What came up recently was just prior to COVID, we had a large stone, the one picture on the left, that came down one night. It showed up in the morning. The stone was on the ground. It became very concerning to us. And then the second stone came down, and we reached out, even though we were beyond the warranty period, we reached out to the surety and the subcontractor. The subcontractor came out. He spent a lot of time here, ladders. He tested stones and made a determination that there was more than just these that had come loose. Over a period of time, the stones were starting to lose their adhesion for one reason or another. So we shut the playground down to the public, and we came up with, we asked to put it imposed on the surety to come up with an analysis, bring in a forensic expert, find out why the stone is failing, and come up with a resolution as to how to move forward. During that inspection by the subcontractor, he found about 100 stones that appeared to be hollow sounding. Some were actually loose. So that had occurred since over the two-year period, because those weren't loose. So over time, why was that happening? So the surety hired an independent company to come out and do an inspection. He basically summarized to us during a verbal summary at the end of his time here as to why it was failing. And his overall, basically, his summation was that it was an installation error, and it wasn't faulty product, it wasn't an issue with the stone veneer itself, that it was pr- primarily due to installation with insufficient bonding adhesive or incorrect mortar application. There could be, he made an assumption, there could be mortar dryness where the mortar had dried out too long or had gotten too old and they were still using it. And the other one could, was more, there was no mortar between the tiles. We did a dried laid installation, which would allow or could allow water to get behind the stone, which would then contribute in his analysis to why we were losing adhesion. So this went on for, you know, this has been going on for a few months. So he provided his written report back to the surety. The surety had lots of discussions with the subcontractor and their legal staff. And they came back and made a settlement to the city in the amount of $116,286 that they would offer to the city to cover the cost of this work. And how they got to that number was those actual quotes, current quotes received from our contract that's out there now as to what those costs would be to remove the stone veneer, to dispose of it. To do that, the playground equipment, some of it has to come down, be removed, reinstalled. So those were hard costs. The remaining cost was based on costs that they paid during that reinstallation that they had performed as to what those costs were. So basically, they were covering equal to or more than what the original cost was to do this work. And they added in a 10% fee on top of those costs because a general contractor would charge that to manage the subcontractor. That's standard practice. So that amount includes that. So during that time frame, we had discussions with our current contractor on site, and we said, we're having this issue, you know, what are your thoughts on doing this a third time? Are there alternative methods or practices that we could put into place either with the installation, with alternate products? What was leaned towards was going with an alternate product. There's a picture here showing that the faux coquina. This is basically a sprayed-on concrete that is then colorized and molded to look like coquina. This is a picture from the park. Now, we had this work done during phase one. There's a subcontractor that does do work over at Disney. This is something that they do. It becomes a monolithic product. So it's very structural. It's very long-lasting option. So we had to pursue a quote for us as to what that cost would be. This actual same subcontractor will be coming back in phase two to do some additional work. We have some more seat walls down in the splash park that will be identical to what is shown in this picture to be constructed. So we knew they were coming back. We'd save on some mobilization costs. They'd already be here. They'd already be on site. We'd be adding work to the scope of work. So they put together a proposal. And so basically we came up with, we have two options. We also had them look at putting together an option to replace the coquina veneer that's there now, to remove it and replace it for a third time. In doing that, we'd be looking at doing some changes. So if we want to talk about option A is to replace in kind the material that's in place, it's roughly $165,000, and that is has been very difficult for the contractor. Every mason he speaks to, and when they come see the project and they understand the issues that are there, nobody wants to come back and do corrective work. He was able to obtain one quote, but it was from another general contractor. So he'd be subbing it out to someone else, and we're not sure if he even has a mason lined up yet. So that has been the difficulty. But if we did pursue this option, we would definitely have to do some more due diligence in trying to obtain some additional quotes. The contractor now has spoken to probably at least a half a dozen. We've spoken with the stone supplier, the manufacturer as well, tried to get some names. They gave us some contacts. No one is interested. He spoke with many other masons that are working on other projects. They don't want to come work on this particular project. So we would have to vet that out and work on some additional quotes. We would probably do some design changes where we would add mortar joints between the stones to address any issue with water penetration getting behind the stone. There may be some additional allowances we want to include for either adding a bonding agent or waterproofing to the product to, again, deal with any water intrusion or penetration. And then we'd also want to bring on a testing company like the one that was brought in to do the testing to oversee the installation to make sure that the mortar was mixed properly, that the timing of the mortar is correct, that the application meets all the criteria. So the installation is done by the book. There'd be complete 100% oversight of that installation. So those would be additional costs on top of what the normal surety would be required to do. It would provide a better, higher quality product. Option B would be to change the system, go with a monolithic system similar to this bench where we go with the sprayed on concrete with the faux coquina. That cost is roughly $189,000. It will provide a consistent look. We have the climbing walls that are surrounding the sugar mill are this product. The seat walls out there are this product. They've been tested for several years now. We've had no issues with either of those at all. We'd be the same subcontractor that did that first phase work, so we know the quality of the work that they can provide in the product that we will be receiving. So in the recommendation from city staff's perspective and the contractor's recommendation that's on site now is to go with the alternate product at the $188,829.90. The surety has offered up the $116,286. This item is here for you today to be able to accept those dollars from the surety and add them to our contingency. The difference would be made up by the funds that are remaining in the existing contingency that was approved with the initial project contract. So as summarized here, the recommendation is that faux coquina option, a good portion of it would be paid from the settlement offered by the surety, and then the additional funds would come from the existing contingency fund balance that exists. Timing is at such that the work could happen consistent with the current work and not have any impact on the schedule of the project. It would work out so the timing would coincide with the other work.
Council, do we have any questions for Carl at this time? Council,
yes,
Member
Carl.
Nitz.
The existing veneer, is that going to be removed with impact hammers? Because it seems to me, rather than throwing that stuff out, that could be used for some decorative pavers or something of that nature.
Yeah, that is part of the contractor that they hired to demo it last time. A lot of it they were able to peel off fairly easily, either with pry bars or other non-mechanical methods. And I think part of their reduced cost for the demolition was they were able to reutilize on another project. So I don't think they threw a lot of it away. I think they took it off and hauled it away themselves. And their cost was less due to that fact that they could recover that material.
Thank you.
This is a problem that we have that not just is that we got kids going around and that could, hurt one of the kids. Plus the liability we have on that. Never mind the liability, the kids itself. So this is a problem that we have to solve. Let's make sure we do what we have to do tonight to solve it.
Yep, I concur. I would just like to ask one question. Carl, is the overall completion of the project supposed to be finished by December 21st, 2020? Is that the goal right now?
Yes, that's the current completion date. They're on track with meeting that date. It will be substantially complete. Prior to that, they'll have some punch list items, cleanup items, but it'll be end of the calendar year, yes.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. I was looking for that piece of information. I had interfaced with someone the other day and have the correct answer, so thank you.
Any other council questions or comments on this item? Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 14, please do so at this time. Okay. I'll take it back to this council, entertain a motion.
I would move the second option, the full coquina. I don't think there's any question in my mind that that's the way to go. That would be my motion.
Does that include to accepting the surety?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Yeah. I would second accepting the faux coquina.
Okay, roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Klufas?
Aye.
Council Member Kopp?
Yes.
Council Member Ranquino?
Yes.
Council Member Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Mayor, one procedural matter, if I could ask for the council to approve the resolution, which was the subject of this agenda item. You've given the council the staff direction with that motion, but I just wanted to close the loop and have a formal adoption of the resolution, please. It does a couple different things.
I thought that's what we did.
My understanding was that you approved you gave direction.
I'll make the motion for the resolution.
Second.
Okay.
Belt and suspenders.
Vice Mayor Klufas?
Aye.
Councilmember Kopp? Councilmember Kopp?
Yes.
Councilmember Ranquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Nutt?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes. Okay, we will now move to public participation. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on that have not at the beginning of the meeting, please feel free to call in at 386-223-1690. We'll close public comment. I'll take it back to this council. For agenda item number K, discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Council Member Branquino.
At this time, I'm going to have nothing because I already mentioned that some of these candidates that are running for office over here are insinuating, okay, they're putting everybody under the same umbrella, and I'm pretty upset of some people just saying that the corruption in City Hall. I've already told one I said before, and I'm going to say it now. And next time we have a meeting, use your 3 minutes to tell us over here, where'd you find the corruption? Where's the corruption? I don't take that lightly, and I think I'm going to call you personally and let you know, okay, what I think of you. And stop drinking that funny stuff, okay?
That concludes your comments?
That's me.
Okay, thank you. Council Member Netz.
I would just like to thank the council for their confidence in me, and I will again reiterate that I will do everything I can in the next couple of months to help move us along. Thank you.
I even forgot to thank you.
Vice Mayor Klufas.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much for your service, John, and welcome back. I'm appreciative of you offering your services over this short term, so thank you very much. And I don't have anything else to add for this meeting, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Council Member Cuff.
I'd like to extend my condolences to Priscilla Netz. But other than that, I think as the, not necessarily at our next workshop, but I have been talking with some of the staff and city manager about how the city can move forward with conducting public hearings or, you know, public meetings where we're going to have to act on quasi-judicial matters on projects that are in the pipeline. And I don't have any magic solution to that. It's a difficult question with the pandemic, and I certainly don't urge us to rush reopening in any way that would endanger the public. But at some point, unless we're all going to borrow some of Chief Forte's respirator masks, I think we do need to start brainstorming what can be done to if not get back to normal, at least get back to moving some of our business that's been on hold through the pandemic. So if the staff has suggestions, I'd certainly like to hear them. I mean, it's more of a workshop item, but I think it's something we need to be thinking about. And that's my only, and I don't ever want to hear the word Fokina in a public meeting again. That sounds like the worst cocktail I have ever heard. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Yeah, just me. Yeah, no criticism of that.
Welcome aboard again, Councilmember Netz. It's good to have you back, and look forward to having your input. Really, really mean that. So thank you for stepping up. I have nothing other than that. Discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Nothing, Mayor.
Discussion by city manager of matters not on the agenda.
I had planned on reading my sonnet entitled Coquina, but I will pass after Mr. Cuff's comments. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.